merchants and brought in ways of paying bills. That was completely new to me, but that is something that would have been brought up at that meeting. So I'm wondering about that, whether that was just an experiment or whether it really became a policy, because I don't ever recall hearing of that.
Well, you know what's so interesting is I look through material from the period. There was a level of cooperation between the companies that, I mean, in this day and age certainly is unheard of.
Yes.
In that sharing of information.
Yes.
And it seems that this reflected
yes.
in the counselors, for instance.
Very much.
Do you recall sorts of programs or ideas or services that you picked up from any of the other counselors?
I picked up every bit of information I could get from anybody. Everybody. We all did.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody did. And they would think, oh, you're trying that. Well, we'll try that. And maybe you wouldn't establish a policy, but you would try it. And I'm not thinking of anything in particular except that we listened very hard for everything that would be helpful to make it easier for people.
Do you recall how the meetings were run? Did the counselors themselves run
the
meeting?
Yes, I was the chairman of that group. And so we met. And we would have a regular agenda that we would discuss, and we got to know each other. We visited each other's plants, and it was very helpful.
Was there any sort of communication as a result, for instance, of women transferring from one company, workers, from one company to another, where the counselors would be involved in this in any way?
No, there wasn't much of that. You just didn't leave.
Mm-hmm.
It was a big deal. It really, if you left for any reason, you really, you felt guilty, you would feel guilty, and you had to really, people really interrogated you pretty strongly because people just didn't leave.
Mm-hmm.
It was what you were supposed to do right then. And unless you were moved out of the area, then of course you had to.
But you have a very strong sense of there not being that
That's
much
right.
quitting
mm-hmm.
During the period.
And I also have a strong sense that there wasn't a big problem. And this counseling service that we had tried to establish through the various YWCAs and all of our women were eager to, for nothing. That was what they were going to try to do to help women get back to try the other side of the coin. And so we established this seminar to kick that off.
And this, the idea being sort of the preparation for the post-war world.
Right. To help them go back home, if that was it, or to help be available if they've been used to coming to a counselor, they could still do it. And we offered, and that was, our seminar was successful. It was very crowded with many, many people. People, anybody could come to it who wanted to. And but I don't believe that the program became successful. I don't think that many women sought the help. So we gradually, it dwindled out so that we didn't offer our services. I mean,
well,
we offered it and then they didn't need it, so we didn't do it.
The idea was that for those who wanted to continue working, there would be some sort of employment placement service for them?
We weren't offering a placement service. We were just offering whatever they wanted to discuss and try to find referrals for them. If they wanted to come in and say, well, now my husband's home, but I still need some kind of a job. Is there any kind of part-time work? Then we would try to make contacts again to just meet that need. I could not honestly say that it was successful because we probably didn't do it more than 3 months. And then there weren't enough people who were seeking it to warrant our volunteering our time.
Well, do you have a sense where women coming to you and the counselors, we were winding down, already in the company itself, already beginning to anticipate and think about what they were going to do?
Yes.
And you mentioned before that you felt most of them were planning on returning home.
Mm-hmm.
And what would be the nature of the help that they were seeking in terms of those who were planning on returning home?
We were anticipating maybe adjustments to their husbands again, mm-hmm. and adjustments to not working and not having that paycheck, and adjustments to maybe the husband not getting a job right away. And those kinds of problems are the kinds of things that we thought might come up.
Mm-hmm.
So here was the wife without work, and here was the husband without work, and what were those people going to do,
mm-hmm.
and where could they turn? And we thought we could offer, could see what the problem was and find the answer in the community to help them.
So the attempt again was to, within the plant,
mm-hmm.
define the problem, and then again either find or establish a program in the community,
yes.
that could deal with the problem.
Right.
It almost sounds like what today would be considered a social work,
yes.
function.
Uh-huh. Almost, except that I think social workers are highly skilled, and I think they are trained to recognize different symptoms in people. All we dealt with was the problem. We didn't attempt to analyze it. We didn't attempt to find out why it happened,
mm-hmm.
or what. All we wanted was that worker on the job, and whatever it took to keep them there, we were going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we did. There's no question about it. There's no question in my mind that it was a necessary and an effective program.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some people may question that, but I don't.
Well, and I think the fact that you received a call some 10 years later from
yeah.
somebody indicates
yeah.
how successful the women themselves
felt it was. Yeah. And this was a problem. I think this woman had been, then the Christmas party was a big thing that happened in many, many offices till it was finally just outlawed. And this one girl had gone to the party, had gotten drunk, and had become pregnant and didn't know who did it. Really didn't. And we referred her through some medical people. And Dr. Poole, who was head of our medical, was very helpful, too. That's where the nurses.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that woman got an abortion. And it was before you did that.
Mm-hmm.
And we were able to find... We were never allowed to give one referral, but we could give several, and then whatever...
Mm-hmm.
they selected was their problem.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that it saved her marriage, and I think this woman is again thanking me
mm-hmm.
for that, because it was I probably was a legitimate story. But we didn't
That's
stop.
That's the hard one to make up.
Yeah, but we didn't stop to think. We
mm-hmm.
didn't care
right.
whether it was legitimate. Our basic function was to keep that worker on the job and happy,
mm-hmm.
and have him do his work. And if he wasn't happy, and if he had problems, it was he wasn't working as well as he could.
Was there any sort of service or provision for this sort of service for the men at all, or would the men come to the women?
Oh, the men did. I remember talking to a number of men who had problems of their own with women, with their wives or their girlfriends,
mm.
and but they didn't come as much, and they didn't feel it was that necessary. They were still pretty macho and thought they could handle
mm-hmm.
their own thing, as did the supervisors, the men supervisors. And they used us more when we ceased to be a threat. I think when I first went into the factory, they thought I was going to be a threat to their authority. And I think when they discovered that that was the farthest thing from my mind, and they felt comfortable with me,
mm-hmm.
then, as the one man said, but you're not a woman, you're just a worker. And that was really what it came to be, and that's what I think many of the counselors established with the men that they worked with,
mm-hmm.
that they were closer to them and they felt they were no longer threats to them.
And at the point at which they saw you as being helpful for them,
yes,
they were then able
yes.
to use you.
Uh-huh.
Were there, do you recall or have any sense of there being problems developing? This would be among the women whose husbands were at home, or not at mm-hmm. home, but were not abroad. As some of the women that were, I've read diary accounts from the period, for instance, or even some of the women who have been calling us talk about the sense of independence that they began to feel, for many of them, almost the first time in their life, earning their own money. And the conflict that ensued in the family mm-hmm. as a result of that, that in a sense some of the traditional roles began to break down. Did you get those sorts of problems?
We didn't have, occasionally we would have somebody who would come in and discuss that as though they were thinking about it. I don't know. I probably have worked a lot, because I've worked ever since then, really, off and on. I stopped several times. But we've had people ask, you know, how to handle your husband, how to handle your money. Do you put it in one account, or do you keep your own,
mm-hmm.
and those kinds mm-hmm. of questions. Not so much because a problem existed, but more planning so that a problem would not
mm-hmm.
occur. And I think women basically are pretty clear thinkers.
Mm-hmm.
And they think it through pretty much long before it occurs to
mm-hmm.
a man. And I think very often it's handled before it becomes a problem.
Mm-hmm.
I do think it becomes a problem. I know many, but usually it's if a woman becomes too satisfied. And it's my money,
mm-hmm.
and that is deadly.
Mm-hmm.
But if a woman uses common sense, I don't. But we did have some of those where they were thinking about it.
Mm-hmm. Was there, do you recall problems of conflicts over the wife's working?
Yes. I had one myself. My husband didn't want me to work when he was able to
mm.
keep me at home. And, of course, during the war, there wasn't any question about it. You just didn't talk about it because everybody was needed.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't like me to talk about my work.
Oh.
And he didn't. If we went out, I was, and anybody asked me about it, he would prefer to answer.
How did you feel about that?
I just thought it was his peculiarity, and I talked about it when I wanted to. I didn't talk about it when he was around,
mm-hmm.
because it made him angry. But I talked about it all I wanted to by myself.
At that point, were many of your friends also working?
Not too many,
mm-hmm.
and that may have been another one.
Mm-hmm.
I think his reason was that he was sort of ashamed that it was necessary, and he knew that it was when I went to work. And I think that he felt that it was his failure that made it necessary, and he didn't like to be reminded of it. And I think that happens with
yeah.
lots of men.
Well, I think that's why I was curious if you got that sort of problem from the women themselves. That
we didn't have it too often,
mm-hmm.
but whenever I had it, I had a built-in answer because I had it myself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
As with many of the problems, they were my problems.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I understood, and that's why I could empathize with them. And a person, when you say, but I did it too, and this is what I tried to do, people will listen to you because you've done it.
Mm-hmm. Well, did that become a problem then when you got these other counselors who were more professionally trained?
Uh-huh.
And how would you handle
that? Too often. Well, that was why I made the remark that I did to Dr. Brickhouse, because to me, it was much better to say, I know what you're going through. I understand it. And have you thought of trying this?
Mm-hmm.
Or have you thought, I heard it, one of the girls who came to see me did it this way. And you give them a half a dozen ideas. They're the only ones that can decide what fits for them.
Mm-hmm.
But some of our girls who had been more professionally trained, which I thought was the right thing, would categorize it and go back and look in the book of what you do and that, and it wasn't that kind of a job. And I thought because they had that much experience and training, they could adapt it and give a better answer than somebody maybe who had just lived through. And that wasn't always the case.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't always
the case. Well, how did you then handle it with them when they were...
I would talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
I would, if I heard of some time where they came on too strong or whatever, I would just simply say, this isn't that kind of a job. And we're not collecting case histories. And we're not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't the function. And, you know, if Lockheed hadn't put me in charge, you could do it the way you wanted to. But they did put me in charge because they liked my approach. So therefore, I'm sorry, but you're stuck with it. And that really was the
mm-hmm.
way it was.
And most of the point at which you had this buildup of 75, most of them were more professionally trained?
Yes, I would say
mm-hmm.
so. Uh-huh.
And was your sense of the other programs, when you would meet with the other company counselors, that they were more professionally trained too, or were they basically
their own experience? I don't know how to say that. I guess not, really, any more than we were.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the woman at Consolidated was the girlfriend of the chief honcho, and she was a jazzy dame, but she didn't know or care as much as the rest of us. Most of the women, and I don't mean that,
mm-hmm.
I don't mean that unkindly, but you were asking the quality of woman.
Right.
She was one and very, I think he just wanted to give her a job, and that was the only thing he could think of. So she was playing with it, but she didn't really care what she was doing. I think she established some kind of a program because they had to, but I just was never impressed that she cared that much. I think there was a lot of caring at all of the plants.
Mm-hmm.
I think Douglas cared that, I wish I could remember. Emily Cook was her name.
She was from Douglas.
From Douglas. And she...
Douglas, not the... Was she the overall...
Yes.
She would be your
she would be, yeah. Emily Cook was her name. You might ask about her records and
mm-hmm.
maybe you can trace her down. But she was the one they sent, for instance, to this War Production Council or board or whatever it was.
How, from the discussions at those board meetings, what is your sense of the difference between the company's programs in terms of the type of program, the size of the program, that sort of thing? Do you have any recollections of that?
I felt that we were doing as much or more than any of them, and we were all exchanging ideas. None of us felt that what we had was a finished product or even were sure that it was a good one. We were just doing what we felt was necessary, and I really believe that that was true of everyone, whether they came out of the personnel function or the nurse's office, or wherever they came, it had to have somebody take care of these problems and help these people. Because they didn't, if they spent their time calling all these agencies and getting the help, they couldn't be at work.
Mm-hmm.
And our job was to keep them on the job.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really think that everybody was doing whatever came to them to do, and it varied a little bit in every plant. But I think you wound up doing pretty much what you had to do, mm-hmm. because that's really what you had to do. And there were all the functions of living. Eating, buying, school, everything that you do. The dry cleaners, the, you know, everything. Washing, the washings, everything had to be done.
In some, what would be the sort of problem, for instance, around washing or dry cleaning that would be brought to you?
Well, they couldn't get in. Uh-huh. The time wasn't right. The time was off. You know, they couldn't get in to do them. And then shortly after that, a lot of the washing units mm-hmm. that spring up that are open till 9 o'clock.
So what would basically happen is you would identify the problem and then go out to the community to figure out a way
and express the problem, and mm-hmm. then whoever, and then you would say, I would say to various agencies, where can this be done? Mm-hmm. What can we do about it? Can you help? Can you refer me? And you could spend days on the phone just tracking down one thing. It was very time consuming. And then you could go out and talk to them mm-hmm. and to the various people who had a glimmer of the problem. And then pretty soon you'd find an answer.
It would seem that after a certain point, say by 40, even the middle of 43, that you had probably seen almost all the problems there were and mm-hmm. that you had a system deal with that.
Like I say, I developed this thick book, mm-hmm. that also went with my records. Big, thick book that had every, you know, you could just, it had all the, what you could do. And when a new counselor came in, she was given that book.
So each counselor had their own
yeah,
set of
and
referrals,
then,
basically.
Yeah, I did the first book, mm-hmm. and then I would just, the first counselor that came in after me, I'd say, this is what I have developed. You will develop some more yourself, mm-hmm. but you can add to this. And whatever you add to, send to me so I can keep it in my book. And so everybody functioned in that way.
Mm-hmm. Was your sense compared to the other company that Lockheed Vega had the largest corps of counselors?
I can't answer that. Mm-hmm. I don't recall. And I don't have a feeling about it.
Do you remember the name of the, was it just called the counselors committee of the Aircraft Production Board?
Yeah, I think so.
And you did keep notes of the meetings?
Yeah.
And then turn them over to the Aircraft Production Board?
No. Mm-hmm. We didn't have to. We didn't have to report to them.
Because I thought that if that was the case, then probably in the archives that Lynn Miguel would have copies of those, but if you didn't...
I don't think so. I don't think it was necessary. Mm-hmm. I think they were providing a base. Mm-hmm. For exchange of ideas mm-hmm. of every department, the engineers, everybody, which is, as you say, it isn't done today.
Yeah.
And it was wonderful. I thought it was a whale of an idea.
Well, at all these records, all throughout, I mean, as I read these, it's very interesting seeing the kind of networks that were developed. And a lot of it was based on the fact that an awful lot of the heads of these companies knew each other, had gone to school with each other, had worked with each other. In fact, Lockheed was sort of removed from that mm-hmm. Because Douglas and Northrop and Kindleberger from North American and Volte, these people all had known each other for years and years and years. Mm-hmm. And I think the business is all mushroomed so much during that intense period.
Mm-hmm.
But the level of cooperation in so many areas.
But you had to survive, because mm-hmm. nobody knew what they were doing, and it was going. We have said at the end of the war that in 5 years we probably learned and did and progressed what would normally take at least 20 years to mm-hmm. do in that 5-year period, because it was so fast.
Mm-hmm. Did you start talking within the plant itself? In preparation for demobilization, or was it primarily waiting for the women to come and planning these meetings in the community?
I don't know. I think we did have a couple of meetings, but it wasn't a major thing, and it was a general understanding
mm-hmm.
that everybody was going to go home. They were just waiting for their release.
Mm-hmm. You didn't have a sense of resentment at all from the women who had been working before the war about the fact that they were probably going to be released?
Well, a lot of those women who were working before the war, you see, would not have been released.
Mm-hmm.
They would still have their job.
Mm-hmm.
It was just the ones that were pulled in
mm-hmm.
at before the war that would be released, and they were released in bunches, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And even the counselors who thoroughly enjoyed what they were doing and didn't and were going to continue to do something or thought they
mm-hmm.
would, there was no problem. They didn't expect anything else. They knew that it was an understood fact.
At what point did the counselors start to be
well,
released?
Almost, well, they weren't the first bunch because we thought maybe they would be needed to help the people who were going out if there were any problems
mm-hmm.
about that. So they hung on a little while. And then we started letting those let them go. And and then I stayed on for a while, and Mr. Kennedy wanted me to move into the Public Relations Department and continue to keep the community contact.
Mm.
And my husband wanted me to quit. And when I went in and talked to Mr. Chapelet and told him how much of my time, you see, I not only worked every day, but I attended all these meetings. And you go, I think I figured in my thing of resignation that by that time I belonged, for Lockheed, to 22 organizations. I had meetings up to here, and he wanted me to work a half a day a week and continue the contacts and do only that
mm-hmm.
and only report out to the plant
mm.
a half a day. And I should have done that. I should have accepted that job, but my husband didn't want me to. And he wanted me free, and I was gone a lot of evenings
mm-hmm.
because a lot of those meetings were in the evening. And he didn't want that, and I could understand that. So I just said, no, I got to sever my
time. Now, when was that, that you then quit?
That was, I think, in July of 46.
Mm. And by that time, had all the other counselors
already? Oh, yes, they had all been mm-hmm. long gone.
So the counseling program phased out
really at the end of 45.
Uh-huh. How many were there towards the very end before the final phase-out?
Well, as I told you, I have that 75 fixed in my mind, but the records should
mm-hmm.
show. That was that was with the Vega
mm-hmm.
ones.
Do you recall the distribution in terms of how many were down at Maywood and how many were at
I don't plane? Recall that.
Was Maywood...
I used to have a fix of how many people to one counselor, but I don't even have that anymore. There weren't nearly, you know, really... we had a lot of people that would have access to one counselor. Really much too many to really
do
an effective job.
It was a problem there weren't enough counselors per person?
Well, if there weren't, it was my fault because the company allowed me to make that decision.
Mm.
But I moved very cautiously because you wanted somebody, and I felt if unless somebody was so busy that they were turning people away, and they usually were able to make time
mm-hmm.
somehow to see everybody. So, but I had a fix in my mind once of how we did that, but I don't remember.
Seems like it would have almost been one for every 50 women. Does that sound right?
Well, no, because if we had 49,000 women,
mm.
and we had 75 counselors all told, there would be a good deal more than
yeah.
that.
But that's something they should be able to find in their
mm-hmm.
records, hopefully. Another thing that occurred to me, I interviewed a woman many years ago who worked at Willow Run. She was an inspector. And she was the steward also from the union. And women would come to her with their problems. Mm-hmm. In fact, she would end up being a counselor. And one of the major problems, she said, many of these were women who, there were some teachers and some nurses who went into the inspection department, but many of them were women who come out of the home. And she said one of the big problems was a lot, particularly for the women whose husbands were away, who would get involved with another man,
mm-hmm.
and that they would